We are here again, and I want to get your reaction right away before I even say anything. You know, you looked at the topic, and if you hadn't, maybe you just came to the room out of habit. But take a look at the topic today, and what comes to mind? Well, you know, so, I invite you to think about that for a minute. If something comes to mind right away, feel free to put it in the chat room, and we are starting right now. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you all, always. The entrance of your word, it brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. Encourage our hearts, Lord, as we encourage ourselves in the word of the Lord today. Give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, today I want to talk about, you know, all kinds of faith. All kinds of faith. But there's one particular kind of faith that I want to zero in on. The last two rooms, we've been talking about, principles of the oracles of God, faith. We've been talking about faith. And, let's examine ourselves to see which category of faith we actually fall into. You know, so there's all kinds of faith that I want to talk about today. But the one that I'm going to zero in on is the one that's, posted in the title of this room. But before I get there, you know, just to let you know that, there's all kinds of faith, that we find in this Bible. Throughout the Bible, we see all kinds of faith. There is common faith for salvation. There's little faith. There's weak faith. There is, sometimes Jesus even said they didn't have any faith, which you might call no faith. There's relentless faith. There's a vicarious faith. Stand on behalf of somebody else. We've covered some of these things in these rooms. There's great faith. There's unusual faith. There's, even translative faith, faith for the translation. And then, but then there is this thing called trailblazing faith. That's my terminology. Trailblazing faith and trailblazers. I'm talking about that today. But let me just cover quickly some of the other, it's a reminder. We've been talking about that in this room for a while. If you go back and look at some of the replays, you'll find that we've done similar things. There was a lesson we did on unusual faith. It gives some common results. But today I'm going to focus on trailblazing faith. There's also, you might call, fairy funniest faith, You can call all these faith, different faiths out, that the kinds of faith that we see in the Bible. Common faith, we're told in Romans 12 and 3, that we have common faith. I mean, faith, there's a level of faith, right, that is common. I mean, it's a measure of faith that God has dealt every man, and so on. So we all exhibit that, whether we know it or not. And, he says, for I say unto you, through the grace that's given unto me, to every man that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think somebody according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So there's some kind of faith that everybody has. And even when we are not thinking of it, we are using faith. Even in our regular day-to-day activities, we're using faith. When you get into an elevator, you're using faith that the thing is going to go in the direction and not crash. Now we use faith in the house, when you sit on the chair, we don't think about it, but we just sit. What if the chair just collapses underneath you? I mean, you climb the stairs, what if the stairs don't hold? And so on and so forth. There's all kinds of things that are going on. You get the drift, so that's just normal faith. Everybody has, and you also even have to have faith, even to be saved. We understand that. But by faith, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, are we saved through grace? Or by grace, we're saved through faith. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we understand that, but there are some instances where, Jesus called out some kinds of faith in the Bible. Before we go there, let me give you another verse about common faith. Titus verse 1, chapter 1, verse 4, to Titus, my own son, after the common faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. So, again, you know, it's common faith is out there. You know, but let's move beyond that. And let's move to faith that actually produces something. There are certain instances in which Jesus rebuked the disciples, either for having little faith. One writer might say, oh, you have little faith. Another might say, you know, why is it that you had no faith? Now, if we have little faith and we can actually use it, we know that Jesus gave an example about that. If you have faith as little as a grain of a mustard seed, that, you know, then you can do even great things. So the times when he was talking about, oh, you have little faith, it's really more or less rebuking them for not having faith. Because if they had the little faith, according to Jesus, you know, was even good enough. So when he said to them, you know, oh, you have little faith, because not trusting in God to supply their needs and so on. Or, you know, being fearful in the midst of difficulties. Some examples here. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 30, we see where Jesus was talking about, you know, let's not live our lives the way, or challenging us, disciples and the crowd, to not live our lives the way unbelieving people do, but to trust in the ability of God to provide for our needs. And he said, look, don't be of little faith, because God is able to take care of, you know, the lilies in the field, the sparrows in the air, and so forth. You know, therefore, he is able to take care of us. And sometimes we forget that when we fret over things that we shouldn't fret about. You know, so that's one of the things I'm calling out here today. You know, O ye of little faith, he called them. Anytime that we are wondering about, oh, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Where shall we be clothed? You know, and so forth. You know, that Jesus said, you are exhibiting little faith. And that doesn't impress him at all. You know, but we need to move away from that and believe that God is able to take care of our needs. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 8, again, when Jesus was talking, when Jesus was talking about to his disciples about being cautious for the leaven of the Pharisees, initially, when he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Sadducees, they thought that it was because they had taken no bread when they went, to the other side. They forgot to take bread. And Jesus said, O ye of little faith, why do you reason because you have taken no bread? Don't you understand? You know, so again, here he's rebuking them because they are thinking that, oh, we didn't take bread. And so Jesus is telling us about this, but that wasn't what he was talking about. I was talking about the, you know, hypocrisy of the Pharisees. So we see where Jesus rebukes them. In Mark chapter 4, we see where Jesus rebukes them for having no faith. The story of which we have talked about countless times in this room. Let's go over to the other side. He goes into the boat, sleeps, you know, waves come into the sea and everything. To the boat. They are fearful. He gets up. He rebukes, you know, the wind, but then he rebukes the disciples as well, you know, for not having faith. So that's another area where Jesus wasn't pleased, the fact that he thought, expected them to be able to handle the situation, but they were worried, they panicked, and so he rebuked them. So we see how all these, different faiths are working. Well, we also see some enduring faith and faith that are relentless, that will not give up. You know, we see that, you know, the story multiple times in many parts of the Bible. We see the story, the so-called, Syrophoenician woman that came to Jesus in, Matthew chapter 15, right? And in about verse 28 or so, after Jesus said a number of things to discourage her, you know, she kept pressing forward. And she finally said, look, even if I'm a dog, you know, I can still eat all the crumbs. And Jesus turned around and said, "Oh woman, great is thy faith." This is Matthew 15 and 28. So in this case, Jesus called it great faith. And, you know, he was amazed about that faith. We see the story of the centurion. And I'm just going through this very quickly. Centurion in Matthew chapter 8, from maybe about verse 6 or so. You know, this man that says, "My servant is grievously ill, tormented," and so forth. Jesus said, "I'll come and heal him." The man turns around and said, "You don't even need to come. You know, just say the word because I understand how it works." You know, and then Jesus turned around and said in verse 10, when Jesus heard what he said, you know, and the man said, "Look, I know how this works. You know, I myself am a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. I'd say to this, do this, that, and so on." And then Jesus said, when he heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed him, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith." No, not so in Israel. So Jesus saw great faith here, and he marveled at it. So he enjoys the fact that when people really have faith, you know, he calls it out. And when they don't have faith, he calls it out as well. I mean, we've seen, you know, relentless faith when people wouldn't give up, you know, and they latch onto the Lord and then believe. We've seen, I mean, we saw that in the case of, what's his name? Jacob. You know, when he would, you know, wrestle with the angel of the Lord. We saw that in Jacob 32. But I also want to, when I get to trailblazing faith, I'm going to call out some things that even this Jacob did. You know, but let me quickly go over through all these other kinds of faith. We've seen faith that refused death, right? I mean, this is faith that would, another kind of faith that would not be denied. Hezekiah. You know, read the story in Isaiah chapter 38, when Isaiah came and told him that this sickness that you have is going to lead to death and you will not recover. So set your house in order. And we saw what Hezekiah did. He would not. "I'm not going to die today," he said. You know, and he called unto the Lord. The Lord, you know, commanded, you know, Isaiah to go back and give him the word. God heard his prayer right there and then. Even gave him a sign, turn back the sundial 15 degrees. And it has been proven even in science today. You know, so we've seen tremendous faith like that, that people did. We've seen, you know, people say by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, you know. So, and on and on and on, you know, we've seen the children of the three Hebrew boys, very funny faith. They went through that faith. They came out of there. We've seen faith that's able to defeat the lions in the story of Daniel. I mean, you all know the stories. Okay. So that's just kind of a background. Now, let me focus on what I really want to talk about today, which is trailblazing faith. Now, this is a kind of faith which works in a situation where we never heard it before, or people say it cannot be done. You know, now, first of all, as far as God is concerned, there's no such thing as cannot be done, right? Mark chapter 9 and verse 23 tells us that. Say, "If thou canst only believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Now, so let's examine the subject of trailblazing faith. In the place where it's never been said, it's never been heard of, it's never been done, and somebody dared to believe God, we're going to challenge ourselves today. So I'm calling it a faith lab. Let's analyze this story, some of these stories. Let's try to do the same kind of thing. You know, and let's see what kind of result we might get. Now, we may be faced with any kind of, actually today, I hardly think that there's anything that you can say has not been done. But there's nothing new under the sun. But even if it hasn't been done, or I should say more correctly, even if you haven't heard that it's been done, because it might have been done. Maybe you just didn't hear of it. Well, even if people tell you, you can't do that, you know, or whatever, you know, and all that kind of stuff. In the face of all of that, what's our response? Well, let's look at a few you know, incredible stories here in the Bible. Now, these are stories which we all know, but I'm going to bring out a viewpoint, you know, in each of these stories. Now, the first that we know that exhibited some kind of, you know, something really, really unusual faith, you know, maybe not the first, but at least the first that I want to talk about, is this man Enoch, because I love his story. Prior to him, you know that everybody else died. You know that, you know, some people died before him and others were going to die after him as well. How he knew or figured out that you can do this, go through this life without dying, I don't know how he did it. Well, I know, but that's it. That's another lesson for another day. But suffice to say for today that this man figured out something, you know, how to beat death. And he did. And he was translated. We're told that by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. That's right. That's the way Hebrews reported it. And even in that Hebrews 11, you see many stories of, you know, people that did tremendous things and so on and so forth. So all the people that were, you know, the generations, were told that Enoch was the seventh from Adam. The generations that were before him, you know, some of them died before him, others were to die after him. But he somehow figured it out. Now, you talk about, you know, trail blazing faith. When even Adam would have told them that, well, God said we are going to die when we did this. And so we're all waiting to die, you know. I mean, because God said in the day that you eat, that you die. So Adam, when he told them those stories, after they asked questions, like, what's up with the cherubims with the flaming sword? And Adam would tell them those stories. And so they all were expecting to die because God already said they're going to die. So it was just a matter of time. They're just waiting for it. But God said, well, in the day that you eat of that, you will die. And so, you know, every one of them was expecting to die. They didn't know how long that day would be. Well, that was going to be 1,000 years. The Bible says a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. They didn't know, but they knew that they were doomed to die because that's what God said. So what we want to call out of the story of Enoch in this case, fascinating story all the time, but this, I just want to call out this one thing here. In the face of this impending sentence of death that everybody knew, from Adam, because Adam told him what God said, the punishment that came for disobedience, death, being driven out of the presence of God, cherubims, you know, saying, don't go near the tree of life. You're going to die. No chance. You're going to die. And this man, somehow, in spite of all of that, still figured out a way to not die, because we're told that by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. So I call that trailblazing faith number one. You know, he was able to figure it out. And everybody said, well, we're going to die. We're doomed. Because that's what God said. Because we disobeyed. And we're going to die. And sorry, all of you, you will die. You know, so it's just a matter of time. But we're all going to die. You know, that's what they said. Well, today, the same thing that people are saying. You know what? Well, it's a matter of time. We're all going to that. Everybody's saying that. You know, well, it's appointed unto men. People, some people even quote the scriptures. Like, it is appointed unto men once to that. You know, and after this judgment. And I often chuckle when I hear people use those arguments. Just because, well, you know, they don't understand the scriptures. Neither the power of God. That's what Jesus said. You know, because it is not appointed unto men once to die in that sense. There are some people that have died more than once. So some people who died and were raised back to life, not the resurrection of the dead, but just the physical raising of the dead back to life in their same old mortal form. They eventually died again. So people like Lazarus and all these people that are raised in the Bible, you know, eventually they died again. You know, so they died more than once. Now that throws away that argument, you know. But what the scripture is saying is that, look, when you go through this life, then you are going to, after that, then you're going to face judgment. But we can't use that argument to say that everybody's going to die. Well, the scripture says we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. You know, so that's another lesson. That's one lesson to bring out of the story of Enoch, because he figured that out somehow in the face that everybody said we're going to die. He figured it out. Well, let's move on. You know, you can read Hebrews 11 verses 5 and 6 for the testimony that was given concerning Enoch. How by that by faith, he figured out that he would not die and be translated. And he was translated. But the scripture goes to say that, well, he did it by faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. He pleased God and God took him. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. So he figured it out and he defeated death. Until this day, even though we are told that death is the last enemy to be defeated, well, way back then, thousands of years ago, Enoch figured it out and he defeated death already. So I call him a trailblazer. He figured it out. So trailblazer number one, Enoch. That was translated that he should not see death. Well, we also can be translated that we should not see death. In our day, that's quite possible. I mean, not only is it possible because the fact that Jesus could come in our generation and those who are alive and remain and have not died will be translated. So that makes it even possible. But even beyond that, it is possible that somebody can walk with God close enough that they are changed from glory to glory, from light to light, every day, like Enoch, and until one day when they become completely light, that they can be translated too before the rapture and so on. That's possible. And I don't want anybody to think that's not possible. You may not have heard of it, but it may have happened already. Enoch may not be the first person or the only person to have gone like that since that time and to not see death. But we know also that there was Elijah, you know, who was caught up. I mean, Enoch's own was kind of silent. People just couldn't find it. But this man, Elijah, was a different kind of man. Different kind of man, you know. I mean, he was like, you know, guns blazing kind of person. I mean, chariots of fire and everything. And everybody knew it. The school of the prophets, they knew it. Elijah knew it. Everybody knew it. I mean, this man, he was something else. This Elijah man, you know, and one of those prophets that you can't kill. You know, you kill everybody else, you come against him, he'll call down fire on you. And so on and so forth. I mean, yeah, power to lock up heaven, power to bring, you know, all these kinds of things. Power to even call for chariots of fire. Glory to God. You know, to come and whisk him away. You know, my goodness. He knew it too. He knew that he was doing Elijah. He knew it. The sons of the prophets, they knew it. Everybody knew it. I mean, this man was something else. But, you know, he's not somebody that he will never die. Eventually, in the great tribulation, we are told under the ministry of the two witnesses, will come back. We believe through the way that their ministries were described, that will be Moses and Elijah. But till today, he has not died yet. So we see these kinds of faith. What about Moses? When Moses stood at the Red Sea, and, you know, what is your own Red Sea moment? We all have those, you know, that it looks it was impossible. Pharaoh breathing down their inner backs. I mean, coming down hard behind them. Red Sea in front of them. No place to go. There's no place to go. You know, and then they were even lamenting. Why? I mean, you could have left us in Egypt and we would just die and be buried like normal people. Why are we going to make our carcasses fall here in the wilderness? Because now we're just going to die here. Nobody to bury us. And all that. But Moses, he did the incredible. You know, of course, God spoke to him, but, you know, God speaks to many of us, but we don't do it. Don't carry it out. You know, he stretched forth that hand. You know the story. And parted that Red Sea. My goodness. Until that time, we've never heard that could be done. And Moses, he did it. So I call him also a trailblazer. And all the talk about all the plagues that he called forth in about 10 different plagues that he called forth in Egypt. But this miracle, this one miracle alone of the parting of the Red Sea, perhaps the most, spectacular, that he did. Many years ago, I even watched this movie that they made called the Ten Commandments. And it was said then that the filming of that parting of the Red Sea was perhaps one of the most spectacular things they could have done at that time. It was incredible. And Moses, he figured out how to do it. How about Joshua? Now Moses' story you can read in Exodus 14, verses 13 to about 22, where he parted the Red Sea. Nobody else had ever done it before him. So that makes him a trailblazer. And when anybody is able to do anything that nobody else had ever figured out to do, that's what I'm calling trailblazer in today's lesson. Joshua, in Joshua chapter 10, verses 7 to 14, he stopped the sun and the moon. And in fact, the Lord even said concerning him that, God's going to begin to magnify him. And he said that the Lord answered Joshua like he had answered nobody up to that point. Well, what about the things that Moses did? But they did it in different spheres of God's universe. And in this particular case of Joshua, when he called out, he just needed some more time, to fight this fight that he was fighting, right? And, in the fight, the sun was about to go down. It was getting to the end of the day. He needed some more daylight. And, he wasn't going to just, give in the fight and say, let's come back and do it tomorrow. He's going to say, well, we are going to finish this thing today. Glory to God. So I need some more. I just need some more light here. So the sun, you stay put. Hallelujah. Stay put now. And don't go down. Don't do anything. Stay put. And until the Lord will give us the victory. So verse 12 of that, he said, then spake Joshua to the Lord. This is Joshua 10 and 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of all Israel. Now remember, he said he spoke to the Lord, but it was actually the sun and the moon he spoke to. Sun! Stand down. Now, he didn't go to the corner to pray. I mean, he was right there and he spoke to the sun. Sun, I want you to hold your peace. Stand right there over the Gibeon. And don't move that moon over the valley of Ajalon. The sun stood still. The moon stayed and the people and so on, until they had avenged themselves over their enemies. And the sun hasted to not go down for a whole day. It's also been proved in science. And there was no day like that. So that makes him a trailblazer. Before it or after it, in verse 14, that the Lord hearkened to the voice of a man. And so on. So that's another trailblazer. What about Jacob? Jacob, if I ask you, what comes to mind about Jacob? This man, Jacob. What do you think of him? People say, well, he was a supplanter. He was this, he was that. He was sharp, he was shrewd, he was whatever. But Jacob figured out a way to alter the course of nature. He did too. In Genesis chapter 30. Now, you have to read the whole story if you are not familiar with it, but I'm not going to tell the whole story. But he has been in a situation, in a duel, actually, with, trying to get, a wife from Laban. And, he tricked him. He wanted somebody else. He gave him someone else initially, as a sort of extra time, And on and on. So he wanted Rachel. He was tricked. He was given Leah. He had to serve 7 years. For that one, and so some more 7 years. And every time he said, look, this man has changed my wages so many times. So one day you know, Jacob said, look, give me my own. I've served you for so many years. You know, let me just give me my wives. Give me this. Let me go so that, you know, let me do my own thing here. And so they could not agree on wages, you know, because this man knew that Laban was, you know, always going to cheat him out of his wages. So he said, look, here's what I want you to do so that I will be clear and nobody will accuse me of anything. Give me of the flock that nobody likes. Nobody likes the speckled flock and the brown, the spotted and so forth. They like the one that had clean skin. I mean, one color all over and so forth. He said, look, I'll go through if I see any of the ring straight and so forth, you know, and the one that are speckled and the spotted, let those be mine. So if you find among my any that are not like that, it'll be clear that I stole. I'll say, okay, yeah, that sounds like a good plan. You know, but this man, he figured out how to make all the cattle when they would concede to come out, you know, anything that would come out of them would be exactly those spotted, you know, and those rings, you know, how did the Bible call it? Those ring straight, you know, the ones with lines, the ones with spot, the ones that, you know, Laban wouldn't want. He figured out how to do it. You know, how did he do it? He went and took, you know, some sticks and, you know, just shaped those sticks with spots and syringe streak and colored and all that. I put it in front of the cattle when they were trying to mate and conceive. And that, you know, somehow he figured out how to make those things bring out the different kind of cattle. My goodness. You call that a range. I mean, you call that a faith blazer or what do you call that? How can you do that? How can somebody do that? You know, but the Lord showed him inspiration of the Almighty. The Lord showed him in a dream. And he went and did it. And he figured out a way to change the course of nature. You know, animals that would have brought out different color. This man figured out how to make them bring forth something else to his own advantage. You know, so it's a very interesting story. Read it all. And he did it. And you can read it in Genesis 30 verses 27 to about 43. So he did. And, you know, he came out on the winning end because at the end of the day, you know, the man, Laban, could not say anything, could not say he stole it because that's what they agreed on. And, he just increased beyond, you know, what it came to pass whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle. He didn't care about the weak cattle. You let them bring for anything. But he looked at the ones that were good, the ones that had a good DNA. He said, well, these ones that have good DNA, let them bring forth the ones that will come to my lot. And he put the rods in front of them, you know, and then the feeble cattle, you know, and so forth, all became Laban's. And this man got all the strong cattle. And Laban was like exceeding wrath. He didn't know what to do because Jacob continued to increase. And there was nothing he could do about it because that's what they agreed on. You know, and that's amazing. That's an amazing story of how Jacob did that. He was a trailblazer in being able to figure that out. You know, how he did that. Many other lesser stories, maybe not quite so less, but many more stories in the Bible of people that, you know, it had never been done before, the things that they did. I mean, you go up with in a fist fight against the lion. David did. Later on, some of David's mighty men also did the same thing. But David went up against, you know, a lion in a fist fight. How do you go up in a fist fight? I mean, we can understand, you know, how you can go to the lion's den and God deliver you through the angel of the Lord. And the Lord shut the mouth of the lion. You had to do nothing. Come out of there, you know, because the Lord took care of it. But how do you go in a physical fight against a lion and win? I don't know how you do that, especially when you're just a teenager, maybe 17 years old or whatever. How do you go up against a lion? Because he took something that belonged to you. And you would not back down from this thing. Say, not on my watch. You're not. Hey, come back here. And David went after that thing. You know, my goodness. How are you going to deliver, you know, the captive from the, you know, the prey from the mouth, you know, of the, of its captor like that, you know, but David did it. He would not back down from the lion. Got into a fist fight with the lion. He came out. You know, maybe he had a few scratches, who knows? And they say, hey, what happened to you? David would say, well, you should have seen the other guy. He came out, he slew that lion and got the kid out from his mouth. How do you do that? Likewise, also a bear that rose up against him, 9 foot tall, and that thing rose up against him. Same kind of things. Stole one of the little, you know, sheep from the flock. And David said, not today, you're not. You know, and got into a fist fight with the bear as well. And dealt with that thing. How do you do that? Well, you know, likewise, by the time he got to Goliath, he already had those two testimonies under his belt. I mean, these are incredible feats of faith that people carried on in that Bible. What about people who did supernatural miracles of supply? We know that Jesus, the master, he did a lot of those. You know, take little lunch and so forth, feed, you know, thousands. But what about the prophets, even before that happened? I mean, Elijah was a man that did something like that. In Elijah chapter, 1 Kings chapter 17, you can read the story in the first 16 verses. I mean, by faith, Elijah commanded the barrel of meal to not fail, barrel of meal not waste, crucifix of oil not fail. I mean, he did these things. How do you do that? I mean, how do you just speak the word and, you know, just cause supply, you know, to just increase like that? How do you do it? Well, it's called trailblazing faith. They may not have heard that it's been done before, but that didn't stop them. That's what makes you a trailblazer. So when you're faced with your own Red Sea moment, when you're faced with your own situation of need, maybe things are running out, you're running out of supply, and you're looking at it, well, maybe I'm down to my last few dollars. And how am I going to pay my rent? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? The woman said, look, this is my last meal. I'm going to prepare it, eat and die with my son. That's it. And I just said, nobody's dying today. Don't worry about it. You know, I mean, how did these people do these things? I mean, Elijah didn't say stay there and be praying and speaking in tongues and doing all that kind of stuff. You know, he spoke the word. He said, thus saith the Lord. Glory to God. And he commanded that thing. Of course, he already stood before the Lord. They already told him, you know, the Lord just didn't give him the whole deal. The Lord hinted him that, look, go over there. I've commanded a widow woman to sustain you. And Elijah didn't know anything about it at first. But once he saw the widow woman, the word of the Lord came back to him, yeah. And he knew that there's something cooking here that the Lord's going to do. But he spoke the word. It was just the word. You know, hallelujah. What about Elisha? I mean, in 2 Kings chapter 4, how do you, when there is so much famine in the land, everything cut off and so forth, I mean, how do you come out and say, look, enough of this already. You know, I waited enough. Let's put this to bed and come out there and give some kind of outlandish declaration. You know, say, and the example that I like to give so that we all think about it, you know, and I've given this example before. It's, you know, things are going on here. Maybe gasoline is sold for $5 a gallon and everything. And there's just high inflation. It's in some places, $6, $7, whatever. And then you come out and you say, well, by this time tomorrow, all over this land, gasoline will be sold for a nickel a gallon, whereas it's been sold for $7 a gallon. And you just come out and give some outlandish declaration like that. How do you do that? You know, and of course, you know, when you have that kind of faith, there's many ways to look at this. You say, well, he spoke the word of the Lord. Well, the Lord told him. Well, if he didn't speak it, it wouldn't have happened. And if he didn't have faith when he spoke it, it still wouldn't have happened. That's what we spoke of the last couple of days. But these people would speak for the word. And even one person, you know, chief of army staff in those days said, oh, come on now. You know, that cannot be. Even if the Lord were to open the windows of heaven, this thing cannot be. Elisha said, well, you said it, but it will be, but you are the one that's not going to taste of it. And it happened just like that. You know the story. I mean, we can go on and on with these people that did tremendous things, you know, that people never heard of, you know. And even in some little instances, like the woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment, Mark chapter 5, verses 25 to 30. You know, I don't know how she knew that would happen, but she just believed it within herself. You know, I don't know if she had been told that, oh, anybody that touched the hem of his garment before was healed. There was no such record. And in fact, there were a lot of people around Jesus, you know, jostling up against him, touching him and doing this, thronging up against him. None of that happened to them. But this woman, somehow, she figured it out. She said, look, all I need to do is get through the crowd. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. She already figured it out before she even got there. How did she do it? Well, so that's the question I'm posing to us in this faith lab today. How do people figure out these things that have not been done before? And they just do it. I mean, have you come up against situations where people say, well, that can't be done? You know, well, I've been told that before. And my answer was, says who? You say it can't be done. I said, well, says who? It can be done and it will be done because all things are possible. There is not a single thing that is not possible. If it's in the realm of God's will, you know, then it's in the realm of possibility. You know, it's only if it is not according to his will. And that's why we are taught, and we've been teaching that in this room, that look, you can't just come out and command something that the Lord has not said. But within the realm of what God has given us, you can do anything in that realm, even if you have never heard that it's been done before. Don't let that stop you, because we, you know, all these stories, these people, they never heard that these things were done, but they believed God. Nonetheless, and God loves it when, look, it's like, Lord may ask those, eyes of the Lord that go to and fro. He may ask them, he said, look, what's happening? You know, and they say, well, you know, we've gone to and fro, and we are just reporting about things that are happening upon the earth. We come back, we're giving you a report. You know, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro, 2 Chronicles 16 and 9, you know, to show himself strong on behalf of those. The eyes of the Lord, look, this scripture here, in case you don't know what it means, there are seraphims, cherubims, patrollers, alerters, and things like that. God puts to work. God doesn't need to run to and fro. He knows everything. But he has these creatures, and God likes to make them feel useful. So he said, okay, cool. What's going on? You know, and they go, they come and report. You can read all about it in Zechariah chapter 1. They say, look, we've gone through the earth, and we've come back, and we're reporting that all is at rest. You know, all is at rest. Well, yeah, they say all is at rest. Zechariah chapter 1, you know, verses maybe 10 and 11. You know, said, the man that stood among the myrtle tree answered and said to him, who are these that the Lord has sent to and fro? Remember, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. Who are these that the Lord has sent to and fro to walk through the earth? And then he said, well, you know, he said, then it came out, the angel of the Lord came out, and then he said, look, we have walked to and fro. These are the eyes of the Lord. They walked to and fro, and behold, the earth is at still. It's at rest. You know, so God doesn't need to walk to and fro. He knows everything that there is to know, and then some. You know, but he gives these angels. So he can say, look, what's happening? You know, and they can come and bring the report. Say, well, you know, some of them, you know, are actually believing you, Lord. Believe in your word. And giving us something to do. Others, well, they're not believing so much. I spoke about this the other day, the vision or the revelation, the insight the Lord gave me into that. You know, so, but when you are believing God like that, it doesn't matter whether somebody has done it before it's of no concern to the Lord. You know, it's not, oh, there's a precedent. You know, this one did it before. Well, that's good to help us. But even if you haven't heard of it, the Lord even turns and says, look, I'll do a new thing. You know, forget about that. I'll do a new thing. A new thing. He can do a new thing anytime. New to you because you never heard of it. But more importantly, just because you never heard of it, you know, doesn't mean it cannot be done. If you can believe God, all things are possible. But what is it really that we are facing? What is your own Red Sea moment? What is it that you are facing? Why is it that you cannot be done? Why? You know, so that's our lesson today. And here's how I'm going to end this. I call this a faith lab for two reasons. One, in a laboratory, you analyze things, you do this and that. You know, sometimes you do experiments. But also, sometimes you bring forth things. You know, I talked about the pharmaceutical labs the other day. Well, even though they are called a lab, they're not just for experiments. In the same lab, they produce things. They produce things that actually go into the market, you know, and so on. So we must take all those principles of the oracles of God that we've talked about the last 2 days. We must put them into action and produce results. And the kind of results that I'm challenging us to produce are not just the common faith results. No, believe God for even things that seem impossible. You know, God, you know, likes that. You know, say, wow, you know, I haven't seen so great faith. When you can say and believe things that seem so impossible, my goodness, those eyes of the Lord that run to and fro, we talk about it all the time. They are called angels that excel in strength, you know, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. When you can declare the thing, it doesn't matter whether it's the sun you want to stop or the moon. Doesn't matter whether it's the Red Sea you want to part. Doesn't matter whether it's cattle, you want the cattle to bring forth different color than it should have. I mean, on and on and on. You can, if you can believe it and you can say it and not doubt it with your heart, you yourself can also become a trailblazer. Doesn't matter what it is. Glory to God. You know, you may even have a mechanical problem in your house. Let me say it to you this way. Well, the natural thing is you call for a handyman or this and that. Come and fix it. And they can do it. And, you know, that's the way you should do it. There's really no reason to always try to, try to spend your faith capital on every little thing. You can just do some natural things. But if you choose to believe God, you know, you can say to the thing that's broken down, you know, I'm not going to call the handyman today. Now, your refrigerator or washer or dryer or whatever it is that's broken down, you can just speak to the thing. And if you have the faith, the thing will start to work. It will obey you. Well, we don't think of things like that because it's easier for us to just call the handyman. That's fine. And that works too. Maybe your garage door that refused to open and you need to go out. Well, how are you going to call the handyman when the garage door is not going to open? You know, you can call the handyman, but it's going to take you the next 2 or 3 hours before they get there and you're stuck. Nothing. Or you can speak to the garage door. It could be your car that will not start. You tried everything and it looks like, you know, this thing is dead. You know, well, okay. You can figure out how to call AAA to tow the car to the shop and get it fixed. And in the next few days or so, and then come up with $800 or whatever. You know, or you can speak to that thing. Now you say, come on now. Let's not get beyond ourselves. Well, that's why we're calling in our faith lab. And that's why we're talking, that's why we're challenging ourselves. Don't put anything past the Lord. In this lab, analyze things, put things together and see what comes out. Glory to God. You know, so when you step out of here today, go practice these things around you, wherever you are, even the elements, you know, glory to God. I remember when I was a young man, once I figured it out, I enjoyed even playing. Well, God was laughing at me, possibly, but he allowed me. You know, I played toy with the elements. you know, and I didn't really figure it out, but I just knew it could work. And then I found out that even as a grown man, you know, now I have faith to do it. I can figure it out now, you know, and doesn't matter. Dead tree, whatever. Dead tree, you know, one of our citrus trees we planted behind the house. I've given this testimony before. Dead, you know, and I went there. It was dried up, the winds, you know, everything, dead. I got in there. I said, well, I think my wife likes this thing. You know, so why should it be dead? You know, pulled out a scripture, and this is how you do it. You must see a promise. We talked about that yesterday. I pulled out a scripture in Job chapter 14, verses 7 to 9. I said, well, there is hope of a tree, though it be dead, and yet through the scent of water, it will bud again. I said, this is your scent of water. Threw a little water on the thing. And I said, well, you are not dead anymore. Moved on. And the dead tree came back to life. True story, folks. You know, any, and you can go on, and I know many of you have these testimonies. But we're calling it out now. I want us to be more intentional this year on these things. Don't just leave things up to chance. You know, exert your dominion. Glory to God. Exert the authority that God has given us. Don't just leave things up to chance. You know, I mean, you talk about somebody, I mean, look at all the things that Adam did when he had the dominion, talking to the animals, doing all these kind of things and so forth. You know, but when he lost all of that, everything became wild. But somehow Noah figured out how to do it again. Did you know, realize that Noah brought into the ark all kinds of animals, two of each kind? He figured it out too. The lion, by that time they were all wild. You know, lion was now eating the deer and all that stuff, and the coyote and the wolf and all these things. They were preying on all the little animals. They were already wild at that time, you know, but Enoch, I mean, sorry, Noah, he figured out he had favor with God, you know, found favor in the sight of God. He walked with God too for a moment, and he figured it out because he acted on the word of the Lord. The Lord told him, bring all the animals two by two. How do you do that? I mean, how do you bring the lion into the place, same place with, you know, the chicken and so forth, and they won't eat them up? How do you do that? Well, somehow, Noah figured it out. And he said to the Lord, now you're lion and all this stuff. You behave yourself when you get in there. You sit down in this corner. No, don't mess around. And they all did. They were there for days. They all behaved themselves. The lion didn't try to attack the deer or everything. And he had two kinds, female and male, of everything. And the normal animals that would prey on these little ones, they didn't do it. Because Noah said, no. We're not doing that today. You sit over there, and they sit over there, and we're not going anywhere there. And when it's time to eat, you guys come here, you all eat together. And then nobody's looking at the other person. How do you do that? Well, call trailblazing faith. When you act upon the word of God, when God tells you something, when God said, bring the animals two by two, well, you act on that word. I don't try to say, how am I going to bring the lion in the same, you know, place with the little deer and all that? They're gonna eat them up. That's not your concern. You act on the word of God and do it, like he said. And then these people, they figured out how to do tremendous things. So we're challenging ourselves with that today. Now, given the lessons of the past 2 days and today, well, what's going to be your story? What is going to be written of you this year? How are you going to obtain a good report this year through faith? You know, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. And who through faith subdued kingdoms? I mean, let's read, you know, before I close this, let me read those couple of verses in Hebrews. I mean, I love Hebrews chapter 11 when I read it. You know, on the subject of faith, there was a good chapter to read and to see the things that the people did. You know, people who are just like us. And they were not any better than us, you know, but they were just like us. But they did some incredible things. You know, so, you know, we begin to read in Hebrews chapter 11, you know, verse, you know, from maybe about verse 32. Say, well, what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and David also, and Samuel, and the prophets, and all these people, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of the fire. We'll talk about Daniel, we'll talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to fly the armies of the aliens. We men received their dead back again. You know, Shunammite woman and all these people, they wouldn't stop at nothing. You know, they get their dead back to life. I mean, and so on and so forth. You know, how do you do these things? You do it through faith. This is a chapter about faith. By faith, even the walls of Jericho fell down. How do you just make a wall to fall down? You know, just because you go around it 7 times. Well, it's by faith. When the Lord commands you, then you do it. And then it happens. Glory to God. You know, so that's our lesson today, ladies and gentlemen. You know, and I want people to exercise this faith on a daily basis. This year, come back from time to go out among the people and do these exploits and then come back and give us testimony and challenge the rest of us. This is what we want to be hearing this year. Glory to God. You know, when you go out, you do these exploits. You know, I remember one time my wife and I, we were not married then, very young, we're still kind of hanging out together. We went to some place and I were able to heal some crazy person that had been on the street for many years. Some of you have heard this story. Terrorized anybody that passed through that area. And they tear them up and so forth. And we were able to go there and cast that thing out. In my country, if you are on the street, you are really crazy. You got mental, you know, demons. You know, back then in those days, and not just homeless, you know. So this man, demons all over him and so on. That day, through the power of the Spirit of God, and we called that thing out of that man. He rolled his eyes like that. About a while, he came back and said, "What's happening?" And when he was all cleaned up, we took him to Salvation Army. He'd been there for many years, and that's in that hole where he was tormenting people that passed by. Got him all closed up, came to the fellowship with testimony. When we gave his testimony, some people jumped up. They said, "What? You do that?" One young man, he jumped up. He started looking for crazy people to heal. Hallelujah. You know, this is how you do it. And this is what it's all about. You know, let the fire spread. Let others catch on. It's like firebrand, you know, light the fire. Let's ignite that flame. Let's rekindle it. Let it spread. So you go out among the people, you know, and you do these great things. You come back and you tell us to the glory of God and let it challenge us and let the others, let's go back out again and do these things. You know, anyone in your house, begin to do these things. You know, don't worry about whether it's been done before or not. You know, put your faith to action based on the word of God. If you can find a promise for it, you know, so if you can find a promise for it, be persuaded that God is able to do it. Embrace it for the current situation and confess it with your mouth. Once you say that, say it, speak to the situation. Don't doubt it in your heart, but believe that those things will come to pass. And even if it doesn't come to pass right away, do not stagger at the promise of God. While you're waiting for it, begin to praise the Lord for it. These are the principles we covered in the last few days. So ladies and gentlemen, that is our lesson today. Now, we can practice right now, right here, finding a scripture for whatever it is that you are believing God for. So I want to do that for a few minutes. Now, if you are in the room today, listening in right now, or you're listening to the replay later on, you're in the right place. Let's believe the Lord together. What is your Red Sea moment today? You know, what is the sun that's going down on you? You know, what is the situation where somebody is trying to cheat you out of your wages? You know, I mean, all these things that we've covered today, it's all in the Bible. These are men like us. Let's find a promise in the Bible that we can do these things. There's some blanket promises. I already mentioned some today, even though you were not thinking of it like that. Mark 9:23. If you can only believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. You know, that's the trigger to any kind of exploit that you want to do for the Lord. If you can only believe it, you are limited only by what you don't believe. But if you believe it, God's able to do it and even exceed it. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this word that we've shared today. Hallelujah. And I pray that we take this word. The Bible said the word that was preached did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith in their heart. Let this word be mixed with faith in the heart of the people that have heard it today. And let's begin to exercise dominion that God has given us. Hallelujah. Let's begin to use the word of God to command things. God, who calls things that are not as though they already are, in Romans 4:17, has given us the same power. Let's begin to speak things and never mind or doubt whether it has happened before or not. God will honor your word if you believe God, because it is really his word that you are speaking. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen. Now that's our lesson today. Hallelujah. So, ladies and gentlemen, what say ye to this, and how shall we exercise this morning? You know, if you have a Red Sea moment, let's help you find a scripture, even if you can't find one. And let's believe God. Let's latch onto it. You know, let's exercise this for the next half hour or so before we close the room. Hallelujah. So I'll yield my mic to those who are on stage. Let's give our reactions and let's see what we want to believe God for. Either for yourself or somebody else. We can do it. And we're not going to stop at nothing. This is how it works. You know, praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Honey, are you still here?
Yes, I'm here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for this trailblazer faith. Yes, believing God for everything and anything and standing upon the word of God. Yes, thank you for the admonition. Indeed, it's uplifted my faith more and more to believe God for anything and to act upon his word, even as he has stated in his word that all things are possible to him that believeth. So I'll continue, the Lord will continue to sharpen our faith to the perfect, you know, to the perfect day. So by faith we are saved, by faith we can do all things. So I continue to trust and to believe and to have that faith, trailblazer faith, even if it has never happened before. I believe God for it. So I thank God for making it more real and real and taking away every traces of doubt, but replacing it with trailblazer faith. I believe God for everything, and all things are possible to him that believe it. Thank you again for this time of teaching, a time of reflection in the presence of the Lord, and for the words of God that we have received today. God bless you all. And thank you all for listening. This is Eben. I will mute my mic. God bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Well, thank you for sharing. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm challenging people to believe God. Don't take a back seat to unbelief. Put the unbelief in the back. Put your faith out front. Let God see your faith. You know, and be bold in your faith. And Joshua was bold to speak to the sun and the moon in the presence of everybody. He didn't hide in the corner to pray that prayer. You know, he spoke it in the presence of everybody. Glory to God. And God honored his word. So let's be bold in our faith. I'm on those of you who are on stage. You know, tell us, you know, how you're going to be bold in your faith. Or maybe you've already been bold in your faith. So give us some examples. You know, challenge us to go and do, you know, some great things too, great exploits. The people that do know they are God, Daniel 11:32, and the last part of the verse, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. Challenge our faith today, you know, and so on. We've heard some incredible testimonies the last 2 days. I want to hear some more, and I want to hear how we're going to take this message and run with it, and the things that we're going to begin to do. You know, let's not say anything is too little or too big. You know, every sphere of our lives, let's begin to walk in faith. Hallelujah. You know, and be doing these things. And then coming back and giving us testimony to impact us, challenge us, to go out and do the same.